Yama, I'm Nari Pakai, and today we're speaking with Elizabeth Copeland, who is hoping to capture the inner scientist within us all with her card game Marine Invaders. Kia ora, Elizabeth.
Kia ora, Nari. How are you today?
Thanks for jumping on the phone with us today. Can you tell us who you are, what you're doing, what are you studying, where are you from?
Kia ora. Yes, I'm Elizabeth. I'm a game developer, science communicator, technical officer, and lab manager. And I'm originally from Sydney in New South Wales.
So you say you're a game developer. What does that mean, and what is Marine Invaders?
Oh, so the ocean is a bit of a cryptic place. So most Australians will easily be able to identify what's known as a pest animal. So things come to mind like a rabbit or a fox or even a cane toad. But often we can't name a single pest from the marine environment. So in this, you know, modern world we have around us, we have grown accustomed to something that we can call species blindness. So that it's almost that we're unaware of the actual species living around us. So in the marine environment, we might see a beautiful purple and yellow sea star, and we might think, oh, that's pretty, but not really go any further with it. So potentially that species could be the Northern Pacific sea star. And that species is a voracious predator, and it needs to be reported as soon as you see it. So you asked me what Marine Invaders is? Marine Invaders is almost a personal mission to increase the reporting of these invasive marine pest species to government authorities. So often, marine scientists and regulatory bodies, they can't always have their eyes and ears on the ocean, but it's the beach walkers, snorkelers, swimmers, fishermen, and divers. They, as a collective, do have their eyes and ears open for these sorts of things. So Marine Invaders is an easy-to-learn card game, and it calls on our collective love of the ocean, spiking in a little bit of competitive gameplay just to make it a bit fun. So together we can learn more about, you know, the native species that we know and love, how to support them, how to understand these marine pest species and how they're getting into our ports and harbours, and actually why they're so damaging to local ecosystems.
When it came to developing this, how did you come into the cross-institutional collaboration?
So As I said, I'm Australian. I moved to New Zealand about 6 years ago. And in living in Tauranga, I learned a lot about Te Ao Māori, so the Māori worldview, and the integration of the notion of guardianship or kaitiakitanga of the ocean into, you know, near daily living. So this meant that I had a really strong reflection, or almost an awakening, about my personal lack of knowledge around the traditional owners and custodians of the country that I grew up in and where my family now live. So really, I wanted to reconnect with Australia and learn more about myself and about Indigenous ways of knowing and doing. And so in that, I came up with maybe I should do a new... So I started with a New Zealand version of my card game. So maybe I should do an Australian version of my card game just to really reconnect with those roots. So I saw that the University of Waikato, where I work, had seed funding available with the University of Newcastle. So I thought the best institution to reach out to would be the Wolatooka Institute at the University of Newcastle. And it was Dr. Kaylee Brooker that answered that call. So I wanted the next version to have a unique, authentic Australian First Nations look and feel. So I also decided to reach out to the amazing team at Deadly Science. So that's Australia's leading First Nations run charity, and they produce STEM resources for schools. And they helped us to host a public poll. And this public poll, we were able to put it out to the public. Hey, which species are culturally relevant to First Nations Australians in New South Wales? What would you like to see highlighted? So in that project, we ended up donating the first 100 copies to Deadly Science for direct use in schools, because there's also no point in producing a resource if it just sits on the lab bench. So we'd love to see it out there and used. So in addition, Kaylee and her team at Wolatooka helped us reconnect with a really great artist, David Parsons. He's a medical student also at the University of Newcastle. He's Warramai Birrapai. And it really helped, flavour the entire project with his beautiful creative expression, mixing that science and art. And I believe that it really just brought the project together.
That's an amazing story of collaboration. Also, I'm friends with David. I went to uni with him, yes.
Classic.
We talk about everyday people playing this and then also kids becoming citizen scientists. Why do we want this and what is that?
So this is potentially my favourite aspect of the project. So a citizen scientist, you could consider pretty much anyone with a passion for the world around them. So science is about looking deeper within yourself and outside yourself, recognizing patterns around you. So I talked about species blindness. So I think the challenging of this species blindness can be done by anyone at any time. So particularly in this field, what we call biosecurity. So that means we're looking at species which are not naturally present to the New South Wales coastline and also causing ecological harm. So the role of citizen scientists, they can actually notice them a lot earlier, and we can prevent the invasion of that species much sooner in the invasion curve and actually prevent a lot of ecological and economical harm. So in this project, we did work with New South Wales Turtle Watch, and they themselves are a citizen science project, and we're just about to do a giveaway with them. So follow their social media and you might be able to win a pack of their cards.
Hey, a competition, nice. During this process, you talked about wanting to connect with First Nation perspectives and community. During this process, did you have any moments that really stood out in being able to reach out and collaborate in talking with all these people that have been working on the project with you?
Yes, I really felt like I gained a perspective which I didn't have before. There was a moment when I was with Deadly Science, so I just visited Australia, and Deadly Science invited me into the classroom to launch the game. And so we got to go to schools, a couple of schools in New South Wales around Port Macquarie and Raymond Terrace. And it was just really heartwarming to work with the Deadly Science team on the ground, meet them in person and work with those schools. I did kind of have a second standout moment. It wasn't necessarily to do with Indigenous engagement though, but there was another really cool moment in my trip.
Okay. Tell us.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You can pick which story you like.
No, yeah, we've got plenty of time, so you're welcome to spin a yarn with me.
Okay. Yeah, so during my recent trip to Australia, I was fortunate enough to present at the Marine Pest Sectoral Committee that they have twice a year, and that was in Adelaide. So it was discussed at that meeting that a local Sydney resident reported the European fanworm directly to DPIRD New South Wales, who are the regulatory body who you should talk to if you see one of these. So at that time, it did put a bit of a smile on my face, because this particular person who reported it, Jen, she actually introduced herself to me online on my Instagram account. So she's an ocean enthusiast and she's an underwater photographer. So Jen knew that I was going to be coming to Sydney. So Jen invited me for a swim and she actually took my photo with the European fanworm. It was like meeting a celebrity for me. It was my first time seeing and touching a live sandworm. And I do think due to its relative obscurity, I'm not sure that many people would have been that appreciative to actually go and see a marine worm. And I just think that's also a really powerful example of how we were sitting in the office in the Marine Pest Sectoral Committee, but there are actually great citizen scientists out there making a real-world impact. Not to imply that the committee is not doing anything. Oh, my gosh, that sounded bad.
No, but that's what you want, that community conversation that's happening, and you want it in their minds. And it's great that they were able to connect with you whilst you were here too. That's just like fate.
It was so cool. I don't think anyone else would have been that excited to touch a worm.
This was all done during 2024, right? Or was this a long time coming?
So I'd say the project probably started back in 2019 with the first edition. Then it started to evolve again around 2023 with the release of the Te Reo Māori version. And then only in about the last year did I reinvigorate the process with starting up Marine Invaded Saltwater Country.
And do you have plans for anything going into 2025 or maybe further in the future?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so now that we have a New South Wales version, I have been inspired to move back home, so hopefully I'll be moving back to Sydney very shortly, in which, you know, there might be some sneaky plans. You know, I've had a few people say, why not a Western Australia version or South Australia, top of the north? I've had inquiry about a potential Torres Strait Island version or a Panama version. So what I'm hoping is that in 2025, this opens more collaborations, more art, more inspiring marine biosecurity enthusiasts, and hopefully some more reporting if these species are seen along the coastline of Australia.
That sounds like great goals, and you have, what, 6 more states to hit? So you've got a few of them coming. Where can our audience find you, find Marine Invaders, and then also the reporting?
Yes, so you can get your hands on the current 3 versions that we have so far through www.marineinvaders.com. Or if anyone's interested in following my journey, we have an Instagram, so that's at Marine Invaders. And yeah, so if you do end up seeing these marine invasive pets, it's actually dependent state by state. So it would take me a little while to, usually there's online reporting forms, so it's not as simple in Australia as it is in New Zealand.
Oh, that's fair enough. At least the game will somewhat give a little bit of a prompting.
Yes, hopefully the future different state-by-state versions are the same as the New Zealand version. So the New Zealand version, we were able to get the MPI Biosecurity New Zealand hotline on the box. We weren't able to do that with the New South Wales version, but maybe WA will let us do it.
Oh my God, more goals. I want to say thank you because that's our time now. Thanks for giving your time, calling in from over the ditch. And that was Elizabeth.
Thank you.